Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, here with my dear friend, Laurie Barnett Levine from Mental Health America of Western Pennsylvania. Laurie has really been the beacon of light, the spokesperson, and really such a wonderful advocate for mental health in our community and throughout the region. Laurie, thank you for joining us today during this May Mental Health Month.
Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to go on the air and talk about mental health, especially in the month of May.
Well, in May is when you have your big innovations dinner where you honor achievements in mental health and advocacy in our region. Would you take a few minutes and tell us what's happening this month with that dinner?
Sure. Every year during the month of May, we have a dinner at usually a local restaurant, and we honor individuals in the community that are doing things for mental health. And those are things that maybe people don't usually think about. They may not even know about them. And so it gives us an opportunity to raise people's awareness while honoring special organizations that do good things.
And it's going to be, do you want to talk a little bit about who the awardees are this year?
Sure. This year the event is going to be it's at the CORE Event Center in Irwin. And for example, one of the groups that we are honoring, it's called Our Hair Project. And Our Hair Project is a group that works with individuals in communities of color, and they promote mental health. And by promoting mental health, they are doing things where they're educating the hairdressers, and the hairdressers are learning about mental health, and so they are passing that on to their customers. And most people like know who go places to get, their hair done, that, and most people go somewhere that you talk to the person who does your hair and you create a relationship with them. And sometimes the hairdressers know more about people's lives than, their friends or family.
Isn't
So
that the truth? That's the truth.
we're honoring Our Hair Project. And they are an offshoot, actually, of Community Care Behavioral Health. We're also honoring another interesting group called Suds of Love. And that is sponsored by Carillon. And Carillon pays for laundromats and has the laundromats open so that people with mental health issues can come and do their laundry for free. And we take for granted that we have clean clothes. But some people don't have that opportunity. And to have the chance to get all your laundry done for free is really a thing that can take stress off of people and in turn improve their mental health. We're honoring a group called the Conference of Allegheny Providers for their advocacy. They are primarily composed of providers all throughout Allegheny County that have contracts with Allegheny County and their behavioral health program, as well as intellectual disabilities. And they have done a lot of really strong advocacy through the years for the programs and for the people that they serve. And we wanted them to be recognized. In terms of youth advocacy, we're honoring a group called the Council on Substance Abuse and Youth, often called CSAY and or CSAY. And I'm going to talk more about youth mental health as we go on today, but there is a crisis of youth mental health right now, and we need to be paying more attention to it to make sure that the youth of today, who will become the adults of tomorrow, get the care that they need. Another group we're honoring in prevention is Live for Tomorrow Today. And they do a lot of grassroots community work, helping people who have lost loved ones to suicide, people who, are going through the throes of mental illness. And so those are the groups that we're honoring. And we hope that the community will come out and support the groups and support Mental Health America At this dinner, we have what we call a strolling buffet where people can just walk around, and we have auction items. We have basket raffles and a silent auction. And so we have lots of really nice things that we auction off. I know we have some jewelry, some fine jewelry. Jen, you've been kind enough to donate a very special basket from your trip recently to the Vatican. I'm not saying they're necessarily from the Vatican, but that was a very special trip for you. And I know that that what's going on now and the loss of the Pope, all of the changes in our country are causing a lot of stress for people, and for some people, depression, anxiety, the things that people have known that have kept them safe and feeling stable are not there anymore. And so we think that this dinner is a time to celebrate mental health, to talk about mental health, and where people can come together with May being Mental Health Month. And so at the dinner, there's, like I said, there's this auction, 50-50 raffle, those kinds of things. So it is that we have a DJ. So it is a celebration. It's a chance to raise some money for our organization. And it's a chance really to recognize people who are innovators right in our own community that we may not even know about.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful get together too, because there's a lot of networking that goes on and a lot of learning and education, not just the entertainment and the awards. So I think it's going to be a wonderful event. Good turnout this year.
Yes, we have lots of sponsors, and so we have people that are registering. You can find out more about the event if you go to our website, which is, of course, www.mhaswpa.org. And there are still ways that you can sponsor if you want to take out an ad for the event. Or if you just want to register or find out more about the event, you certainly can do that.
It's going to be wonderful. That's great. And you were talking about Kasey and one of your award winners being focused on youth mental health. Why don't you talk about that for us?
Well, I said that I wanted to really talk about youth mental health because right now we're really seeing that there's a tremendous need for mental health services of our youth. In fact, youth mental health is a leading cause of disability and poor life outcomes for young people. So it's really important for family, community, schools to recognize signs of distress and providing support for our youth when they're having mental health issues. I think a lot of times parents, like sometimes you don't see the forest from the trees, like you may be too close and you don't really see what's happening. If there's changes in grades, changes in friends, isolation, sleeping in a lot, eating a lot, people think like depression means like, oh, a person is just sleeping, like laying around. Like one of the signs of depression can be agitation. And so that people can be like have more of a temper than they used to have. And that can really be a sign of depression, changing in their social groups, their academic performance. And so the more we can identify these things early on, the better the outcomes. And also, the better the chance to prevent long-term problems.
Right. And do you think that we always have this discussion. Is it lack of awareness? Is it lack of services? Or is it both?
I think it's a little bit of both, and it's also, well, lack of awareness about mental health. Like, just because a child's performance in school is changing, the parent might not necessarily see that as a red flag that something might be going on with their child's mental health. Withdrawing from social activities, changing in sleep patterns. Like people might see these things, but they don't put two and two together. Like they don't know what they are. Even the youth might not know what they are. They may not be able to verbalize their feelings. They know they don't feel right. They know something has changed, but they don't know that that could be depression or agitation or anxiety. So we have to educate the public, the youth, the schools, to know the signs and symptoms of a mental health problem. And, you know, school is stressful. Life is stressful. Being a young person is stressful. So all those things are just kind of normal stressors. And then, you know, you add in that something may be going on in that youth's life. And so we need to educate people. We need to reduce the stigma around mental health issues so that people realize that mental health is health. That's like my new saying now. So people realize, you know, it's a part of your overall health, that if you have problems with your mental health, it can manifest itself in problems in your physical health, gastrointestinal problems, blood pressure, sleeping problems, which also impact concentration. All those kinds of things go hand in hand. And so we want people to realize, like, having a mental health issue is not a personality flaw. It doesn't mean you're weak. Mental health issues, mental illnesses are true illnesses, just like any other illnesses. We know enough about the brain, and we know enough about, you know, the things that the hormones that the brain is secreting to know that these are real issues and there are real changes in the body that happen when someone's having a mental health problem. So not only is there that issue, but there's also the issue of then where do I go to get help? And there's insurance issues, you know, is the child insured? Who will accept that insurance? Where do they live? What is near them? If the parents are involved, what about transportation? The parents may be both working and not able to transport to appointments. There are resources in the schools. In Westmoreland County, the schools have what's called an SAP program, a student assistance program. And they help to identify students that have mental health issues and can help to get them into resources. But, you know, we know that there is a shortage of child psychiatrists. And so, you know, there are issues sometimes where you might have to wait a month or two to get into services. And that can be a real problem for the family. And, you know, if you wait until things are so bad that you need help, and now you have to wait 6 weeks, 2 months to get that help, sometimes that can just feel unbearable. There's also increase in suicidality in our youth we're seeing. The data is telling us that more and more youth are thinking about suicide, and they're also making more and more suicide attempts. And so I want to make sure that the people listening know that there is a suicide and crisis lifeline. It's national. It's free. It's 988. It's a 24-hour-a-day number. And you can call there and talk to someone. They can refer you to resources in your area. So I want to make sure that people know about that. You don't have to necessarily be suicidal to call that. It's just that you would be in crisis. In school, students can reach out to teachers, to their counselors. And there are lots of services that are available in the area. It's a matter of locating them, calling them, and being able to get into services.
What a challenge, you know, especially if you find yourself in a sudden, well, I guess whether it's sudden or whether it's been coming on for a while, to have to wait is really, really difficult. So some of those hotlines and really some of the school resources, do you find that now schools are on the front line of this, Laurie?
Yes, they are. And so is the community mental health system. And I think, too, like, you know, COVID is in a sense over. People are still getting COVID, but the crisis, the immediate crisis of COVID is over. But that period of time still had a lasting impact on our youth. For the younger children, they miss that socialization at an early age. In school, patterns of attendance changed. For some high school students, they didn't get to graduate. They didn't get to socialize during those years. they missed some key points, you know, that they would see as part of their educational experience or youth experience. And so we're still seeing that a lot of youth are impacted by that. The Center for Disease Control says youth in the United States are experiencing a mental health crisis. And it's affecting all teens, but some teens are affected more than others. And so in 2023, they did a youth risk behavior survey in the CDC, and it offered a snapshot of mental health. And it showed that many youth were experiencing symptoms of depression. The percentage of high school students feeling sad and hopeless increased significantly over a 10-year period. And there's also suicidal thoughts and behaviors are increasing for many high school students, especially the whole LGBTQ students. They are feeling even more isolated because they feel like they are coming out, they are expressing their sexuality, and that is often not accepted. It's not accepted by parents, it's not accepted by peers. And so they're feeling more stress and isolation. And so those feelings of stress and isolation and the suicidal thoughts put them at higher risk of suicide. And female students are more likely than male students, and LGBTQ students are more likely than heterosexual students to attempt suicide. But male students are often more successful. And that's true in the general population. Males are often more successful. They often use a more lethal means to attempt suicide, and so that they are often successful. And so we're seeing at Mental Health America, we do a lot of work and with the Suicide Awareness and Prevention Task Force, and we're seeing, you know, more and more youth are needing mental health. And we're also seeing, unfortunately, youth that are dying by suicide right here in our community.
Lori Barnett Levine is the Chief Executive Officer of Mental Health America of Southwestern Pennsylvania. She's our guest on Westmoreland Community Connections. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Joining me today is Lori Barnett Levine. She's the Chief Executive Officer of Mental Health America of Southwestern Pennsylvania. We've been spending some time talking about May as Mental Health Month, and Lori's been focusing specifically on the mental health of young people. She's going into some statistics about the differences between male and female youngsters and how sexuality plays into that. We've talked a little bit about resources for those individuals and also awareness and education. So, for people who don't know what Mental Health America is, do you want to talk to them about that and your role in both advocacy and education, helping these families along?
Some of the things that we do, like for example, is talking to you today, and educating people about what's needed in their community and what are the simple things that they can do, just in their families and within their communities to increase mental health. And we also do lunch and learns for businesses so that employees can learn about mental health and what's out there. They can learn about resources. They can find out what's available for them if they're having mental health issues. Mental health in the workplace is a really big thing because people, again, are experiencing more mental health issues now than before, and they need to know what to do about it and to have somebody to talk to. And like I said, there's still the stigma around mental health that people don't understand that mental health is health, and your brain is connected to the rest of your body. And things that happen in the brain affect your body and vice versa. And so that's one thing. The other thing is like we educate and we advocate for things like more funding for mental health, to educate legislators and community leaders about why it's important to have money to support mental health programs in the schools, mental health programs in general in the community. to be able to have more resources available for people who need them. And people don't realize there's a rise in homelessness. I mean, people in the more urban areas see more homeless people on the streets, but even in areas like Westmoreland County, we've seen a rise in homelessness. And if you don't have anywhere to sleep and you don't have, and you need food, mental health is not the first thing on your mind. And obviously it can cause stress and depression. And so we advocate for individuals that are out in the community and don't have homes so that they can get the resources that they need. So those are some other ways that we advocate. And having events like Innovations, I mean, that's advocating in a way, because we want to let the people know what's out there. We want to let people know how important mental health is. We work with the county commissioners. They've made proclamations about May being Mental Health Month. Last year, we were able to turn the Capitol green. I hope we can do that again this year. Green is the color for mental health. And so we do offer supportive services in the agency, and all of our services are free. We have a drop-in center in La Trobe for people with mental health issues where they can drop in and become members and have somewhere to go to decrease loneliness and isolation. We employ what's called a community advocate that people can call and ask questions if they're having mental health issues, if they have mental health issues and are having landlord issues, or we're not attorneys, but we can make referrals to different organizations. We know that some people are losing their health insurance, and that's really frightening to them. And what are the resources that are available to them? We have an outreach worker that goes around to the community and educates people about mental health and the programs that are out there. And we also have what are called representative payees that assist people with serious mental illness with their finances. So we're doing a lot and providing supportive services for people in the community. But we are also putting out there these educational components, wanting the community to learn more. And if people are interested in having, an educational program in their church or some other local group that they belong to, all they have to do is call me. I'm again Laurie Barnett Levine. You can reach me at 724-834-6351. Be happy to call you back and talk to you and see what we can do. We've talked to lots of community groups and churches and all kinds of organizations trying to help raise their awareness about mental health.
You do a wonderful job at that. You really do. Tell me about some advancements that you've seen, some progress. Share some good news with us about progress or advancements in mental health treatment.
Because we are learning so much more about the brain and how mental health issues affect the brain, we're able to do more. There are newer medications that are coming out. There's a medication for actually treatment-resistant depression, so that some people who have never really been able to be helped before have medications that can help them. There are even places that are using ECT, shock therapy, that people, when they hear that, they think about the movies and people like being electrocuted, but it's not like that anymore. They're able to actually see images of the brain as they're using these programs. And so they're finding that by that kind of electrode stimulation, that can provide treatment for mental health issues. So we're always finding, new ways to provide treatment to people, new types of therapy, that even didn't exist 20 years ago, 10 years ago, that they're finding are very effective for people with certain mental health disorders. So, we're learning new things all the time, and there are opportunities. We talk about mental health recovery so that even if you have a mental illness, you can still recover. Just like if you have diabetes, or high cholesterol, there are medications you can take, doing exercises, things that you can do to treat the problem that you have. And that's why it's important to identify it, because you don't have to suffer in silence. And there are opportunities for better mental health.
Wonderful. And it's great that we understand and that we research, and a piece of that is funding. So let's talk a little bit about how important community support is for your organization and the research being done.
Well, most of the programs that we have are tied to government funding. And if that government funding were to go away or be reduced, the programs that we have would have to be reduced. Most of the programs that we develop that are not government funded are things that our fundraising helps to support. So, for example, Mental Health America has had a warm line since the pandemic, and the funding is running out. And I'm very sad to say that in June, we're going to have to close our warm line because we don't have the money. So, if anybody's listening out there that has any ideas, the warm line costs about $25,000 a year to offer support to people. And it also, we have a reassurance line as part of that where we will call people who feel like they need reassurance and they just want someone to talk to. Maybe they're feeling so lonely and isolated, they just have nobody. And so the reassurance line will call them and give them a chance, to have somebody check in on them. So, I mean, those are things that we were doing, with special fundraising and funding. We have the Staunton Farm Art Cellar. That's a special program that's not funded by government funds, where people can come and like enjoy art, enjoy practicing art, not art therapy necessarily, but just enjoying art. And it shows that by doing those kinds of things, like art, music, even walking in nature is really good for your mental health. And you can, those kinds of things actually change the hormones. There's been research, changes the hormones in your body, changes the chemicals in your brain. When people go for a walk, when they go for a hike, when they listen to music they like, when they practice art, all those things are good for your mental health.
And those are, great points. And, you yourself have been so dedicated to this. We have about a minute left. Do you want to just tell everyone how you got into this line of work?
The mind, the human mind has always fascinated me, like from the time I was an adolescent. And it's just something I always knew that I wanted to do. And I was a psychology major and got my bachelor's degree in social work. I went on for my master's degree. But I realized that by being in mental health administration, I felt like I could make more of an impact because I could create more of a systemic change to help a greater number of individuals achieve positive outcomes. And so my emphasis has always been in mental health administration. And I've always had a passion for advocacy because I think creating positive change is where it's at. And if you can improve the lives of individuals, like to me, that is the most gratifying thing. Obviously, it's more important than making money because social workers don't make a lot of money. But it's just very, very important to me to make a difference in the lives of people.
Lori Barnett Levine is the CEO of Mental Health America of Southwestern Pennsylvania, a wonderful advocate and educator and spokesperson on behalf of the organization. Lori, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And I just also want to throw in, people should check out our website to see the different support groups that we have and the services that we offer. There's a lot of resource information there, MHASWPA.org. We have a Facebook page and we're on Instagram.
Lori, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.